and welcome to the Think MHK podcast presented by the Manhattan Area Chamber of Commerce. On this podcast, you will hear from a variety of people from across the region, including community leaders and business owners. You will hear their Manhattan stories and hopefully get to know your friends and business associates a little better. Thanks for tuning in today. We have a very special guest for our first show of the season on the Think MHK podcast. It is almost retired, not quite yet, but almost retired, Manhattan City Manager Ron Fear. Hey, Ron, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, Jason. It's great to be here.
So you've been on the show before, but just to remind people kind of your background and talk a little bit about how you ended up being the city manager of Manhattan for over 20 years.
Well, you know, it's I didn't take the traditional route for city managers. I didn't go to school to be a city manager. Actually, got my bachelor's degree in forestry, started out at K-State for 2 years and ended up at the University of Missouri and got my undergraduate degree in forestry. And I was working for the Forest Service when my brother sent me a front page picture of the local forestry department at the city had tipped their truck over into somebody's yard trying to load a big elm tree log. And he said, "Ron, Manhattan needs you." And so when I was at K-State, I had some urban forestry coursework, and that was kind of intriguing. And I said, "Yeah, I'd kind of go back to Manhattan again." So I started doing some research. That was a time when they were getting ready to start the new Parks and Recreation Department. And so actually the Park and Forestry Supervisor job opened up and I applied for it and was fortunate enough to get that and started in 1982 and was one of the newer employees for the new Parks and Recreation Department.
So that's a little bit of an interesting history. How did they manage parks before 1982?
So parks were a division under what we called the Department of Services, which would typically be public works, but it was more than that. It was parks. It was just about everything in the city that was operational in nature. And so when the Parks and Recreation Department formed, that we had a recreation commission in town that was actually under the school district.
Oh, okay.
So they ran the programs. That's pretty common in Kansas, especially in smaller communities. So that was a big thing for Manhattan and something that had a department by itself to focus on those programs and facilities and services. And so that was really a big part of where that started. I was fortunate enough to work my way up through the ranks in Parks and Recreation and eventually Assistant Director of Parks and Recreation, and started working on my master's in public administration at K-State because I kind of wanted to get into administration. And Mike Condiff was the city manager here at the time. And he says, "You know, when you finish that, you can have my job." And I said, "Well, that's not the plan of to why I was doing that." And but he left, went down to Bryan, College Station, Texas. And Jim Pearson was the assistant. He moved up and invited me shortly after I'd gotten my MPA to come over and be his assistant. Said if I didn't like it, I could have my old job back. I said, "Well, that seemed like a pretty good deal."
Yeah. And so, what year was that?
So that would have been late 92.
Okay.
And then 2 years later, he was fired, and I was became an acting city manager for a period of time. And then Gary Greer was hired in 95 to be the manager, and he was here almost 5 years, and actually resigned and took a job with Steel and Pipe locally for a period of time. And so that was kind of unusual. And you know, I would say, you know, there's not too many situations where you've got a peaceful transition from manager to the next manager. And they come about when somebody does resign, mm-hmm. To take another position or retires. So, I went for it, competed for it. And then in April 2000, became the, city manager and been in that position ever since.
So you'll basically get 24 years.
24 and then 2 6-month jobs as acting, about 25.
But, yeah. So it's my career I've been in basically 4 cities, and I have had the unusual, I guess, privilege of serving with 3 city managers that have had 20 plus years of experience.
Awesome.
But that's not something that happens very often. How did it happen here?
Yeah, I think I had some really good mentors that helped me really, you know, I talked to them a lot during my time, but, you know, it gets back down to, in my mind, establishing relationships, especially with the elected officials and the elected commissioners. And, you know, I've tried to help them get to where they want to be, regardless of whether they were in the majority or the minority, and tried to certainly respectful of their opinion, and knowing that my job was to do what the at least three of them wanted to do, three or more. So that was that could be challenging at times, but you know, having that communication and relationship to just you know, we may not be on the same wavelength in the chapter, but you know, all in all, you know, we still got to work together. So let's do the best we can.
Yeah. Do you know what the average length of term for a city manager?
I think it's about 5 or 6 years typically. Yeah,
that's about what a chamber president is. By the way, this is my fifth anniversary year, so hopefully that'll I'll have a similar length of term as you, because I'm done moving. I don't want to move anymore. So talk about some of the highlights of your time with the city, particularly as city manager.
Sure. So, you know, one of the things that we've been able to do in Manhattan, actually since mid to late 90s, was have the community support for economic development funds, creating our own economic development funds. In the mid-90s, we were a finalist for Cessna plant that ended up going to Southeast Kansas, but as we were trying
which
to...
Which is now closed, by the way.
Okay.
They're not open
there
anymore.
You go.
Yeah. That's how those things work sometimes.
We did a 5-year half-cent sales tax locally for the city, and that was something that the community supported. And, you know, we didn't make it dependent on landing that particular prospect, as we, you know, we've always been heavily dependent on government jobs in Manhattan, both at Fort Riley and in K-State. And about every mayor's goals has been to broaden that tax base and have more private development, as well as just about every chamber chair or president has been as well. So that was something that happened. We started building the tech park and created that out at the airport. And that really was kind of the early stepping stones for what would be multiple efforts in sales tax renewals that came back with a countywide sales tax twice for 2 10-year periods of a half-cent Riley County sales tax that we benefited from. And then more recently, the half-cent sales tax that we went back with a citywide, because there's a lot of sales tax on the Pottawatomie portion of Manhattan that we weren't collecting. And so that was key for that. And obviously, the chamber's been a huge partner ever since I've worked for the city. We've always contracted with the chamber to help us with economic development services. And y'all have been great to work with over the years and help, a big reason why we've been successful. Yeah.
Well, and we appreciate that partnership. And fortunately for you, you've only had to deal with two chamber presidents, right?
Right.
So, you know, in that vein, why have you prioritized keeping a positive relationship with the chamber since you've been in this role?
Yeah, I think it's just, as I observed prior to being the city manager's assistant, just the relationships that we had in the community. You know, Manhattan is, I think, we're not a suburban to a big metro area, so we've had to work together harder to try and get ahead of other places and compete with other places. Obviously, the university and Fort Riley have been a big help with that, with regard to workforce and different aspects of that. So it's just, you know, everything goes better when we work together as a team, and everybody brings their strengths to the plate. And I just think it's important that we continue to do that. And certainly the chamber does more for the community than just that. You know, the business community pay the bulk of the taxes. They bring the sales tax in, which we're so dependent on. So having a vibrant business community is extremely important and something we've always had as a priority.
And I know one of the things that we talk about a lot too, most of the philanthropists come out of the business community as well. So you think about the people who have given And given in this community, they've usually been entrepreneurs or executives at companies. So
absolutely.
Appreciate that. So you talked a little bit about the economic development sales tax and the partnership with the city. And I know you have always been very supportive and protected the partnership with the university. And that, of course, those three things was what led to MBAF. And right. I assume that would be on your highlights. As
yeah,
well.
Absolutely. The MBAF story is just remarkable. When President Weefald and Bob Krause and Ron Truen and Sue Peterson and Jerry Jacks and a number of the individuals at the university really focused on what dangers there were in the world with in the bioscience area and really led the effort to build the Biological Biosecurity Research Institute, the BRI, now Pat Roberts Hall. That was a huge key for us landing MBAF because it's a mini MBAF without a stage four facility. So that was a big event. It was, the legislature it was a huge nonpartisan issue from the governor and the legislative leaders, our congressional leadership. Everybody just worked hard together to land it. And then once we were finalists, and we did the site visits, I think, and they toured the BRI. They wanted to see more of the community then after that, and I felt like we had a really good chance. One of the negative check marks we had was air service. So we were also, Leavenworth was up for it in Kansas, and they liked Leavenworth just because it was so close to Kansas City International mm-hmm. Airport. Sure. So we were, one of the most amazing things about the MBAF story and the airport story was that we got a bill through the legislature and the governor signed pretty much in one day. For a $2 million revenue guarantee. And then we had been talking to American Airlines about jet service. We were running at the peak. We were running about 15, 19 passenger U.S. Air Express planes mm-hmm. To Kansas City. And so we felt like the demand was here. And American came with us. And we ended up, not only did we not spend the $2 million, we had a $2 million credit with them. And gave that money back to the state. So, that led to new airport terminals, mm-hmm. actually two airport terminals mm-hmm. that and really created a huge front door for the community with the airport, with Fort Riley, K-State.
And, of course, that led to what now is the Edge Collaboration District and all the investment the city made in there and it just and in athletics. And that's basically a $300 million, well, counting MBAF, it would be a $1.5 billion corridor now. I mean, you have to kind of look at that when you drive through there and just kind of shake your head about all the.
Yeah, you know, and it just seems like it happened yesterday. You know, when the MBAF team was here to do the site visit, we were just getting started on the north end, a redevelopment for downtown. So that was another big accomplishment to be able to do the TIF district and do the North End redevelopment at a time when the economy was really bad in 07, 08, that area. And then we had the STAR bonds that were awarded to do the Discovery Center. And that was a challenging project because normally a facility like that would have been, you would have had a grassroots group that was for years doing mm-hmm. fundraising for it, building support for it. And so it was kind of the other way around. We had the money first and let's create the momentum for this facility. But there was a lot of great leadership among elected officials and local leaders to help bring that to reality. And it's done really well down there and being able to do the conference center and bringing mm-hmm. Dial on. And, I think one of the few communities in the state where we've got a downtown conference center that is going to benefit the community in the downtown area and people can walk to downtown and shop and yep. eat. And so
it's really the holy grail of tourism, right? You want to have a conference center that's in a walkable district
absolutely.
With other services.
And that's led to other improvements mm-hmm. In the downtown area.
Yeah, the Art and Light Museum now will be right. coming on, and so it really creates a lot of synergy. So we've talked about a lot of the good things. Are there times you kind of looked and thought, man, I wish I'd have picked another line of work?
Yeah, there's always those challenging times, whether they're personnel related mm-hmm. or, we've had some Parks and Rec sagas mm-hmm. During that time. The 93 flood was one of those huge community challenges where impacted several parts of the community along Wildcat Creek and, of course, along the Blue River. Those were challenging times, some tough economic times where mm-hmm. we had to cut budgets considerably and hiring freezes, that sort of thing. Those are challenges, but at the same time, you're motivated to kind of work hard through those to try and get back to where you were and get someplace better.
So what are the good things and then what are the challenges of working for an elected city commission?
Again, I think one of the big keys is establishing those relationships. And, you know, I would say 95% of the time that group is in pretty good agreement with most of the decisions that are put in front of them. Usually it's philosophical issues that separate them. And that's what I've tried to do is not get too much in the middle of that. Let them work through those issues. Our job is to, you know, here's some options for you. Here's some recommendations from a professional standpoint. And then sometimes we just say, you know, this is just a political issue and y'all just need to tell us what you want to do. Mm-hmm. And not try to get too emotionally involved in what's going on.
But the people who have the ability to hire and fire you change on a regular basis.
Oh, yes.
And of course they do. My work, yep. They do too. But that has to be a little stressful.
It was. So I was actually was married in the flood of 93 and had just made the move to the assistant city manager's job. And I told Renee, my wife, who's been a huge supporter and companion, that when I go for the city manager's job, you know, I'm going to be like a coach. You know, when three of them don't like what I'm doing, it's it. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no safety net there right. of any kind. So she was fine with that.
It is. And I think there's some good things about those kind of jobs, but there are definitely some challenges. And one of the things a lot of people from Manhattan may not realize, you know, just I've been in other cities. We're one of the few places that we don't have in a community our size, at least, that we don't have an elected mayor. And so I think that makes it even more of a challenge for city administration to kind of figure out, because you don't get these referendums on certain issues
sure.
like you do in other places. And,
right.
and so to be able to survive and thrive in that kind of environment, I think says even more about your abilities and what you've been able to do too. So
thank you.
So here's a question, and I'm not going to ask for your least favorite, but tell me, give me a few of your favorite commissioners and the ones that have impacted you in a positive way the most.
Sure. So, well, probably one of our longest serving mayors during my time was Bruce Sneed. And he was a stalwart during MBAF. He was on the state MBAF task force that the governor appointed. He was huge in the whole Discovery Center component.
And still is.
And still is, mm-hmm. absolutely. Yeah. So provided some really strong leadership at times that leadership was needed. And very, very graceful, even when he was in the minority and he was mayor. He was, you know, helping folks that, well, here's a motion. If that's what you want to do, here's a motion that you could consider. So, you know, I really appreciated Bruce's leadership. Another one that comes to mind that served during that time was Roger Reitz. Roger was a unique individual, big into train travel, always anxious to get train traffic here. But one of the things that I'll just always remember was he came in shortly after 9/11, after General Myers was named chair of the Joint Chiefs in October of 2001. And then we were going to go on a D.C. trip to our National League of Cities conference in the spring of 22. And he says, you know, do you think we could get in to see General Myers or invite him to, you know, come have dinner with us or a luncheon with us or something? And I said, well, do you know General Myers? And he said, well, I feel like I do, but technically no, but I took care of his mother-in-law, was a personal physician for 30 years. And I said, you need to write that letter. And he did. And that led to a state luncheon in the Pentagon with General Myers, and the Junction City Commission joined our full commission. And it was just a neat event. I mean, it's, and it wouldn't have happened if he hadn't have told that story and wrote that letter. So that was really neat. Rich Jankovic wasn't on the commission that long, but when he was very effective. And one of the things that he was very instrumental in was our air service program, mm-hmm. and helping to court American here, and the relationship that he developed as on the airport advisory board and chair of that board, also with Fort Riley. Mm-hmm. That was really good. So through our airport efforts over the years, that's been really good. And then Mike Dodson, you know, it's not always you're going to have a former commanding general from mm-hmm. Fort Riley that's going to be a city commissioner and mayor mm-hmm. Here in Manhattan. So those are just a few. And certainly there are others. Commissioner Reddy, it's been good to see her move up in different positions.
And of course, Representative Dodson, former Mayor Dodson, famous for his lists.
As yes.
First time, he was mayor when I moved to Manhattan, and the first meeting I had a checklist of things that he had prepared for me as, for my new job. So I miss getting those lists every now and then. Obviously, Manhattan has changed a lot since you become city manager. What are some of the ways that are the most noticeable?
Well, population growth, for one. We've grown, I think when I started, we were about 33,000 was our population. And, we're at 55 now. So, and then the area, the region has really grown significantly. The growth over in Pottawatomie County and Blue Township, that area has just really skyrocketed. And it's an area that clearly needs to be part of Manhattan's future growth patterns. So when I started, the mall was coming on, getting ready to start construction. And so I think that was a really incredible strategic decision of locating a big mall downtown instead of on the outskirts of town. Much harder to do because it's a redevelopment project. Our redevelopment projects have been very, very difficult, but so there's been a gradual change in trying to provide additional services. We've seen growth in the medical services, professional services. K-State was growing very well until just a few years ago when the enrollment started to go down. And so, I think we have had significant growth. We've had several local businesses expand several times. That's been great, and we've had some programs to help them expand, and our whole partnerships with the university on different aspects of research and entrepreneurship and different aspects of that, and trying to grow your own has I think been very unique and very helpful. And all that time invested in more infrastructure, reinvested in more infrastructure, and trying to modernize things.
So what do you view as the challenges on the horizon for city government and for Manhattan as a whole?
Yeah, I think one of the bigger ones is tax base. Obviously, in a community like ours, we have a lot of not-for-profits. We have a lot of government that's not on the tax rolls. So there's a lot of demand for that property tax in order to continue to provide quality services and the services that everybody wants. Parks and Rec has had significant growth. Our new rec centers are huge assets that we've added to the community. Different improvements. Been great to see the zoo blossom and improve over the years. So, just being able to fund all those things and having the funds to support it and maintain it and grow new things that will require additional resources. So that's going to be one of the bigger challenges, and having an ability to grow east along the Highway 24 corridor is going to be very important. I think it will also be important to continue to redevelop. We just are finishing up the Beyond Tomorrow downtown plan and got some really cool projects going on that are privately led in the downtown area. So being able to do that, got a lot of infrastructure and exciting growth going on in Aggieville. So those are all going to be important to continue on and be able to have the workforce for the future that's needed, that'll be another key issue.
So if you had one piece of advice for the next city manager, what would it be?
I think one of the things that I have been successful is to build those relationships. And so having the ability to build relationships with community partners, that's the business community, the chamber, the university, Fort Riley, as well as there's a lot of other groups of folks that have needs and desires. And so those are going to be important. But the biggest relationships for that manager are with those elected officials. And that's going to be important for them to establish and listen to those concerns.
And last question before we get into the rapid fire, what are your plans for the next 5 years and beyond?
So my wife, Renee, has been retired for about 4 years. She's a teacher by trade, and she's done some subbing to keep her energized. But we're going to take some time to travel and relax a little bit, de-stress or have different stress, I guess. So, but certainly not. And we're going to celebrate Tuesday nights together and probably have some of the family over on Tuesday nights, because my family never saw me on Tuesdays. I left early and got home
Tuesday,
late.
Right?
Yeah, only on the fifth Tuesday. Yeah. So that'll be a big part of it. My daughter Jill's on her second year of a 3-year program in Florence, Italy. We're going to take advantage of that and go visit her some more and see more of Italy for sure and Europe.
But you're staying in Manhattan?
We are staying in Manhattan.
All right, yep. Well, that's good to hear. Yep. Okay, so that is the end of the formal interview. So
right.
You got through that fairly easy. We are getting now into the rapid fire. And you've done this before, so you're old hat, right?
Yep.
So I'll pick 10 questions and you try to answer them as quickly as you can, but as always, we don't time people and we don't cut you off. So, ready?
Ready.
All right. Do you have any hidden talents?
And I have a really good sneeze that always gets the grandkids. It's
Oh, well, I was not expecting that. So that definitely is hidden. All right. What other than your Donald Duck talk and sneeze, what do you want people to remember about you?
That I was someone who was willing to listen to their ideas and be respectful.
What job did you want as a kid?
I wanted to be a forest ranger.
Okay. Well, you got pretty close to that.
I did. Then.
Yeah. What was your first job?
My first job was a paper route.
Okay. There's probably a lot of people can say that. Not anymore, though, right? That's
right.
More our age and older. What is your favorite or funniest workplace memory?
There's a lot of them, but I would say my favorite that has always stuck with me that I like to tell. So it was when I was city forester, the zoo was having a big, crazy, beautiful day at the zoo, and they called me up on a Saturday after hours and said, Ron, a male bison has passed away, and we need to get him to the vet school for a necropsy. And can you come help with the forestry division's crane to get him into a truck? And I said, you want to do that now? Yeah, we really do. And I said, okay, not after hours, now. Yeah. So about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, we went up there and everybody was going, what's going on? And, we put a chain and cable on the buffalo and has to lift it over the fence into the truck. And just as the buffalo was at the height of the fence, you hear this, look, mommy, they're hanging the buffalo. And I just knew there was going to be a picture and a headline. But fortunately, that was before everybody had these phone cameras and were able to put that out on social media. So, but that was pretty crazy.
Yeah. I wouldn't say this is favorite or funniest, but your story you told at Rotary the other night about FEMA giving people the wrong addresses to evacuate was an interesting story.
That was
too.
The Guard, the National Guard.
Oh, National Guard.
Yeah.
Okay.
Evacuating the wrong places.
Yeah. That would be an
interesting. Yeah, that wasn't funny.
That would be an interesting moment too. What skill would you most like to learn?
I would have loved to learn how to play the piano.
Me too.
Like Dan Durfo.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. Where is the coolest place you've traveled?
Before I went to Italy, Glacier National Park, okay. Bar none. I love the mountains and the traveling on the going to the Sun Highway on the east to western side is just amazing. But Florence, Italy is the new one.
Yeah. What is the one thing that instantly makes your day better?
You know, just running into somebody and making each other smile.
Yeah, that's a good one. Do you prefer working remotely or in the office?
Definitely in person.
Yep. I would have predicted that. And then last question, what advice would you give the 19-year-old you?
Be patient, listen, and also go for the stars and what you want.
That's good advice. Well, Ron, I know this month you're going to hear a lot of great things about your time and what you've done in the community, and you deserve all of that for everything that you've been a part of. I know personally I appreciate everything you've done for me since I've been here, and we'll always be here if you ever need anything. And congratulations and good luck on retirement.
Thank you, Jason.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Think MHK, a podcast produced by the Manhattan Area Chamber of Commerce. If you enjoyed the Think MHK podcast, we'd love for you to subscribe and share it out on your social media channels. Feel free to reach out to us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram at the Manhattan Area Chamber of Commerce.